It's an NRL round review.
All over.
Round 8 done and in the books, MG. And I mean, I come into this review podcast with a heavy heart because I just cannot get Brett Morris out of my head. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. There are a host of other injuries, but off the top, he's a friend of this show, as is brother Josh. And the look on his face, the screams you could hear through the effects mic on the ground, my heart breaks for Brett Morris.
Absolutely heartbreaking. It's some images you see on a rugby league field and some images you see that stay with you for a long time. Mm. And that'll stay with me for a long time, especially in the dressing room after the game with Josh consoling him. And the tears. I had a tear in my eye seeing it. I don't want to see a legend of our game finish like that. And it's kind of a bit like Judd in the AFL, done the same thing, didn't he?
It's a very good comparison, actually, because it was an innocuous moment that would have happened in hundred thousands of times in any game of sport. The Judd one was just, he went up for a mark, came down awkwardly. This one, Brett Morris, how many times do you reckon Brett Morris has been tackled into touch?
Thousands.
And just the...
Yeah.
Oh, that
and
knee.
Lindsay, and let's not forget Lindsay Collins as well.
Yeah, and Lindsay Collins. I mean, there's
a lot of injuries.
There's a lot of injuries out of the weekend. Lindsay Collins is another sad one because it's the season. It's his season-ending one for a bloke who's in great form, was looking to play a big role in what Queensland will be doing at State of Origin this year, you would think, after what he delivered last year. So, look, we will get to the Roosters game. Let's go back all the way to Thursday night when the round kicked off at GIO Stadium in Canberra. Rabbitohs getting it done 34-20 over the Raiders. Raiders came out strong. You sense that whatever the rev up from Ricky was, it worked, but in the end it only got them so far.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens when you're depleted. You've got George Williams, their halfback, who injured himself in the warm-up, done his hamstring. You've already got Hodgson, Papalihi, the Croker, all on the sidelines. So Jack Whiten had to, Whitehead had to play in the halves. The first half was good. They would have gotten a lot out of it. But then in the wash-up, four losses in a row for the Raiders. Joseph Tarpany's wife is come out and basically give it to Ricky on social media, which is, for me, that's an alarm. That means there's big problems. But there's nothing to take away from the Rabbitohs. They were clinical again. They just keep doing it. That's seven in a row for the Rabbitohs, and they haven't won seven in a row by accident. If you remember the very first game of the season, it was only that first half against the Melbourne Storm where they probably played their worst 40 minutes of the year. And apart from that, they've won every half. So they're definitely definite title contenders, and they take on the Storm this Thursday night, which I cannot wait for.
Cam Murray's injury is a concern, however.
Yep. What was more of a concern is that they called him off for a HIA.
Yeah.
And that's an abuse of the power that the HIA comes with. We saw him limping, for goodness sake. You can't, so that's got to be addressed. Cam Murray, I think Adam Reynolds' thumb, will keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks. So all of a sudden, they've gone from, purring along to facing Melbourne Storm Thursday night with a litany of injuries, which I suppose if you want them to come, you want them to come now before finals footy because that will be playing it. But, still.
Just quickly on the Kirsten Tarpany thing. I don't know. It's not really a big deal. But I think the underlying point is, and you've made this comment about teams previously, is this doesn't happen at the good teams.
No, it doesn't. And you know what? This is the first time it's happened this year.
Yeah.
I know that. Some spouses have been on their husband's in their husband's arm when they get attacked socially on social media I have every right to, but this is different. This is basically challenging the captain of the boss of your husband's job, and I don't know what the ramifications will be. It's the ironic thing is about it is Tarpany started the year on fire, and then last week he got dropped, and this week he only played, I think, 30 minutes, the least amount of time he's had on the field since he debuted back in 2014. So I don't think he'll be there for much longer.
Yeah. Look, Kirsten is more than entitled to her opinion on the subject, but I would argue that a game when your husband's just come back after having been dropped because of his performance, I think is probably not the time to be shouting out Ricky Stewart.
No.
I mean, look, we saw it with Ben Hunt's partner, who has been vociferous in her support over Ben over the years and the criticism he's received, and he's flying now. So, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion on these things, but the Raiders...
I can't remember a spouse attacking a coach like this in recent times.
No. The Raiders, where to from here? I mean, where does their season look to?
Oh, well, it's in peril. They can't win the comp, I don't think, anyway. I think it's down to four teams. And I spoke about that in the show tonight as well. I think it's down to the top four teams in the comp, and Penrith, Para, South and Melbourne. And after the Roosters' diabolical injury toll, I don't think they can make it. They can win it.
The Raiders take you on the Knights this weekend on Saturday. MG is going to be really...
got to win.
You got 2, 3 and 5 teams. They both need to, though. But 2, 3 and 5 teams, one of these teams is going to be 3 and 6 after the weekend.
Yeah, well, these two teams, along with St. George, in the last few weeks, I have the most concern for mine. Knights have just gone backwards at a rate of knots. They can't wait for Mitchell Pearce to get back. Sharkies have lost 4 in a row. Yeah. The Eels have won 3. It's Dragons, but have lost 3 in a row, and that's their fourth one. The Raiders, so they're in a bit of froth and bother.
A lot of bother. Broncos Titans. This was the first game on Friday night. The first half.
Wow.
It was just a tags on shorts. Let's see who can score the most points. 22 apiece.
It was 22-0. I was listening to it on the way home from doing the 6 o'clock game, and I got home, and at halftime, I think it was 22-all, maybe?
Yep, 22-all at halftime.
22-all. I went, what the hell?
I went through a roller coaster, MG, in that first half. I thought, hey, give us the trophy in the first 20 minutes.
Oh, they look slick, didn't they? I mean, Fogarty's kicking game was astute.
Mm.
They were just overpowering the Broncos, and it was kind of like the Broncos got to a stage where they said to themselves, here we go again, but we've got nothing to lose. Let's play a different brand of footy. And I thought Tyson Gamble was fantastic.
What about him?
He was fantastic in the halves. Big attitude.
Not out there to make friends, was he?
No, and that's what you need. You need a bit of that biting down the mouth go. We say it all the time. The Tigers did it yesterday against Dragons. They won ugly, but they won. And I think the Broncos just kind of said, line in the sand time, let's go. You know, we can't get any worse than what we've been playing. Let's just go out and be aggressive and throw the ball around. Jermaine Osako had one of the most rollercoasting games I've ever seen. The first three tries were all his fault against him. And then he's scored 2 and set one up before half time. So it was an amazing game. You know, when there's so many points scored, 64 points in a rugby league game, the defense is that thing around the house.
Dave Fifita needs to be kicked out of the forwards club. Kicking 3 times. Winning set restarts.
He's got to be careful of that because he only had 4 runs in that first half. And we've been lauding him for his talents, scoring 2 back-to-back. Not back-to-back, but 2 hat-tricks this season, which is hard to do when you're a forward. But you've got to get involved in the game more. When you're the marquee player, he's going to start copping it otherwise.
Geez, they miss Tino. They miss Tino.
They miss Tino's energy.
Yeah,
they miss him bad.
Way.
Is he back this week or next week?
No, I think he's eligible to return this week from suspension. So, yeah, he will be back. They need him desperately. I mean, if they want to stay, they got a huge game against the Tigers outfit this weekend. So we'll get to that in the preview podcast later on in the week. Storm Sharks, it was the scoreline most expected, but this Sharkies outfit, it's just the season is going to feel like an eternity. The rest of 2021 is going to feel like an eternity.
Yeah, well, the Sharks have now lost 14 straight against top 7 teams, if you count last year as well. And they started on fire, again, a bit like the Raiders. It was a carbon copy game, to be honest. They started on fire because Wade Graham added a lot more spark when he was out there, and they just couldn't maintain it. Half time came, and then again, if you want an example of a player going to a club and going the next level, look at Ramus Smith.
Yeah.
3 tries in a matter of about 7 or 8 minutes, but his carries, his defence, his aura on a footy field has changed. And that's what that purple jersey does to anyone who puts it on. It's like a super cape. It's unbelievable.
And now there's conversations about Xavier Coates possibly headed to the Melbourne Storm, which is scary because you talk about that progression. Craig Bellamy takes average players and makes them good, takes good players and makes them great. Xavier Coates is a good player. So
he's a great player. He's a real good player.
Scary to think what he could become if he does join the Storm. I realise I've gotten the Friday games mixed up back-to-back.
That's
there,
right.
But 40-14, the Storm prevailing. The one thing I will warn Cronulla fans about is the fact that you have to go to Penrith this weekend.
Yeah, this Friday night. Good luck.
Let's jump to that game. Panthers Seagulls, a lot of build-up, a lot of excitement, anticipation about this one because Manly, red-hot form, Panthers, best team in the comp. And Panthers showed that them being the best team in the comp weighted more against Manly being the best, almost on-form team in the comp.
Yeah, well, I think now I think Nathan Cleary's the best player in the competition. I think the way he's progressed in the first eight rounds, he takes that mantle. I think it's Penrith were in a bit of an arm wrestle with the Seagulls at Bathurst, and the arm wrestle was getting intense. And then all of a sudden, Penrith just seemed to have the uncanny knack of going from second to third to fourth to overdrive in through their gears when they want to, when they need to, when they just put the foot down. They go, okay, they did it against the Broncos a couple of weeks ago. They did it against Manly again on the weekend up at Bathurst, and I don't know who's going to beat them next. I honestly say that. I'm not saying that to be, you know.
I know you're not. Yeah, yeah. You're as unbiased as you can be for a team that means so much to you. But
I saw South as their biggest challenge in 2 weeks at Dubbo, but with this injury plague they've got at the moment, the Rabbitohs, I don't think so.
I've already had a look at the fixtures, MG. Round 16. Round 16.
Titans, they play the Titans today.
Parramatta.
That'll be a game.
That is going to be the game. I think it is, off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I think it might be at Bankwest, but that is, I know they're playing each other in round 16, and I've already got it marked in the calendar. A couple of other things from this game. Brian To'o just continues. It's going to be so difficult for Freddie to not pick him.
Well, he ran for over 190 metres for the sixth time this year, seventh. First time, the only time he hasn't run for over 190 metres, he ran for 162 metres. He just starts the sets off so wonderfully. We speak about him ad nauseum week in, week out. This seems to be Groundhog Day, talking about Brian To'o, because no one's seems to be coming up with a game plan to nullify him, because you've got to. He's their most dangerous player. You take him out at the moment, and you know, their sets start 30 metres back from where they started because he's getting that much oomph out of his runs that I saw him like on the weekend just go through people like they weren't there. And his strength is unfriggin' believable.
Yeah, it's incredible. He's flying. You mentioned those gears. The other thing with this Panthers team, they don't panic. There's no panic in them. It must be an amazing feeling to be out there in a team that even as there was an arm wrestle early stage of this game, MG, but there was no panic. There was no sense of, you just got the feeling that they knew they were the best team out there and that they were eventually going to get it done.
Yeah, that's exactly what you got the thought of that. Exactly what you got. Liam Martin came off the bench and was almost the best forward on the ground. You know, this is what we hear a lot of narrative these days about the next man up. Well, that's certainly the case with Penrith, even in their 17. I mean, their top 13 are great players, but that's just more proof that rugby league now is a 17-man game.
Matt Burton, is he in trouble for that shot on Marty Tapau?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't. Was it? Do you think it was a shoulder charge?
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I didn't walk backwards from Bathurst. Nude.
Was it? If that's a shoulder charge, I'll walk backwards nude from Bathurst.
Yep, and it was cold up there too, so.
Which is why you've chosen to walk backwards.
Yes, exactly.
Let's roll into the Eels-Bulldogs. Eels-Bulldogs, Eels 32, Bulldogs 10. I've got a flag on this Eels outfit. They are not being given the credit they deserve. They are not being given the headlines they deserve. And I'm sure Brad Arthur is loving it. But everyone's talking the Panthers, rightfully so. Everyone's talking about the Storm. Everyone's talking about the Bunnies. Everyone's still talking about the Roosters. Why is no one paying attention to this Parramatta Eels team? I know they only beat the Bulldogs, but you can only beat what's in front of you. They're second on the ladder, and it's just ticking along.
I just think we have recency bias when it comes to, you know, backing teams and following teams that kind of go as well as they do, then they let you down. I think this is a different team to last year, Parramatta, definitely. I think new Okora in the centres with Opacek, again,
yes.
We talk about these guys all the time, but Papalihi, again, he was enormous. And now that Nathan Brown looks to have done something wrong with his hip.
Yeah.
Madison and Lane will now be the second rowers, and I imagine that Papalihi will now be the lock forward. So I think Gutho was again strong as he's just going from strength to strength. You know, Reed Marnie again, Campbell Gillard was strong. As for the Dogs, well, they went back to their recent form. They didn't turn up to play, and simple as that.
And I think, I mean, we're seeing it slightly. We'll get to the Dragons and in a moment, but I think we're Dogs fans. Just if any Dogs fans are out there, flat and depressed and sad off the back of the weekend's performance, you just got to be realistic about where this team is at. You are a long way off, and you're getting Matt Burton next year. You're getting Josh Adokar next year. You might get Toby Rudolph next year. But the point is, you are a long way off. The cattle's simply not there right now, and you are going to have a lot more weekends like the one you just had before things get better.
100%. Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm.
All right. Let's keep rolling through the weekend. The Roosters Knights, 38-4. This game on Saturday night. Let's touch on the injuries again. Brett Morris and Lindsay Collins have both been confirmed season-ending injuries, ACL. The Brett Morris one, look, is there a change? MG, do you think he can – is there any way back?
Oh, there's back. If anyone can come back in 12 months and regain their powers, it's Brett Morris. The way – to be in career best form, and I believe he was this year. I haven't never seen him play better, even when he was dominating at Origin and international levels. I've never seen him better. He's just, and I think the experience that he brought to the Roosters this year was the thing they're going to miss most. And I look, it's so sad to see that one of our, not just the best players in the game, one of the best blokes in the game, exited it this way. You always want guys like B. Moyes to go out in their own terms. You know, hopefully with a grand final win if they can manufacture that, but. It's a sad, sad day. And Lindsay Collins, well, we mentioned him earlier. He's a guy who was, again, in career best form, would have been a massive part of Queensland's Origin series this year. And very similar to last year. They seem to do it in twos, don't they? Keary and Friend were both injured in the same game. Last year it was Verrills and Victor Radley. Yep. And now it's two of their, B-Moz and Collins. So apart from that, Sam Walker was again great. Newcastle Knights, my goodness, what's going on with them?
I don't know.
They're just bad to watch.
They are, I would argue, I'm looking across the competition. We knew what the Bulldogs were going into the season. I think you could almost declare the Knights as the biggest problem child of the competition right now.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm thinking that as well. I think them, I think, Canberra as well. Canberra now sitting in ninth. I thought they'd be a top four team all year.
It's the problem child cup this weekend.
Yes.
Raiders v Knights.
There you go. So one of them are going to get a victory. One of them are going to be happy on Monday.
The other thing I look at that, and it's scary to see just how much they've gone to water since Mitchell Pearce's injury. They were coping without Ponga. They were coping. But without Mitchell Pearce, they have gone to absolute water.
Yeah, they have. And they never looked like even, scoring a try against the Roosters. So that was just, Adam O'Brien's got some massive headaches up there at Newcastle, and he's got to fix them quick because it doesn't get any better. They've got to go to Canberra now and play down there where it'll be minus degrees. And Canberra are coming off four losses in a row. So they're going to be fired up, the Raiders, that's for sure.
Your man, Brandy, giving Sammy Walker 3 votes in the Daly M for that game. Jeez, he's just continues to impress this kid. Hey, quickly, the Roosters captaincy curse. If I am Trent Robinson, I'm not appointing a captain this weekend. I'm saying we're playing without one because it's Boyd Cordner out till round 12. Jake Friend, retired. Luke Keary, ACL. James Tedesco, concussion. Brett Morris was captaining the side for the first time on the weekend.
Yeah, I know.
So I am saying, do not appoint a captain this weekend, Robbo. I'm just run out without one. You no go skippers. Down and toss the coin.
Yeah.
Don't play with a skipper, all right? You don't need it. Okay, two games on the Sunday. Warriors-Cowboys. Oh, the Warriors just, farewelling the Central Coast in style with a couple more weeks there before they eventually get to head back to New Zealand. 24-20 win over the Cowboys.
Yeah, it was some young kids who are absolutely smashing it. Rocco Berry, who's made his debut a couple of weeks back. Reece Walsh, who another one that the Broncos let go from their grasp. But it was just, it was a really, Tuivasa Sheck was back to his best. They got it to a big lead. The Cowboys fought back, and I think they showed some grunt. The Warriors now are slowly moving up. They're in seventh position on the ladder. And looking fantastic. I just think when they're on, I love watching them play footy. I love the way they play footy. And I hope they make the finals this year. I really do.
Well, at this rate, you'd think they would. I mean, they're showing far more form than, you know, we've got the top five, beg your pardon, and then those final three spots are up for grabs, and you think the Warriors, if they can maintain. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is just so important to them, and we know that our mate Brownie, I mean, the acquisition of this kid, Reece Walsh, is really exciting, but they are going to be very hopeful that he can develop and be their starting fullback for next year.
Oh, for sure.
Tuivasa-Sheck is just, he's flying.
He's a massive loss for next year, and as I mentioned on the weekend, they had another guy who's only playing his second game, Edward Cossey. But then they've got blokes like Josh Curran and Bailey Sirenen and Adam Pompey, who've only played 20 first grade games. They're a young team as far as first grade games go, and that's only going to help them out. There's a murmur that Adam Fanua-Blake might be back in a couple of weeks. So the injury to him wasn't as bad as first thought, so that would be massive cavalry coming back for the Warriors.
Hey, quickly, before we move on from the Cowboys, S. Drinkwater. I mean, I know they lost, but he was still probably their best.
He was their best by mile. He was their best. And if they don't make him a priority, like he can play halfback, 5'8", he can play in the centres, he can play on the wing, he can play fullback. He could probably play hooker at a pinch if he beefed up a touch.
If one of these Sydney clubs that is short of a halfback or is a bit nervous that they might get left without a chair at the end of this merry-go-round.
Mm.
I would be on the phone to Scott Drinkwater's manager right now.
I don't know why Trent Barrett isn't getting him at the doggies for a 5'8" role. You know, you've got the young bloke there in Flanagan. Why not get Drinkwater with him as 5'8"? He's got a great left foot kicking game. I think he's scored 6 tries off his kicking this year. So it's obviously he's got deft touch as far as kicking goes. So I just think he's so underrated. And I hope that, I don't know. If Dearden and Townsend are going to the Cowboys, well, he's the odd man out. And he's too good to play reserve grade, that's for sure.
I'm just looking around and thinking, looking at these other clubs. I mean, the Storm are sort of the halves, but who knows how the Sharkies shake out, if they land Reynolds or not. Who knows what the Rabbitohs have got planned. But I just think Scott Drinkwater could be a money ball buy right now somewhere in the NRL.
Yeah,
if the Cowboys have decided that it's Dearden and Townsend from next season onwards, the form that Scott Drinkwater is doing everything to put himself in the shop window at the moment. Good luck to him. Hey, final game of the round. Geez, the Dragons. I mean, you don't want to call it a false dawn because we knew it was going to be a developing first year under Hook Griffin, but 16-8, a bit of a grind of a game. The Tigers, Madge must be pleased. Madge must be a very happy man waking up this morning.
Yeah, well, Madge, let's first go to the Dragons. Look, they got beat a couple of weeks ago by the Warriors, 16-10 or something like that. Then they got flogged last week against the Roosters, and then yesterday, just didn't like their body language against the Tigers. The Tigers, we spoke about them getting down, biting down hard and saying, come on, let's go. And they did. Sometimes when you give a kid his debut match, like Zach Sini was yesterday on that wing, who was in the same year as my young bloke.
He's a mate of your young fellas.
Yeah, at St. Dom's High. And he was a Penrith junior. Penrith didn't see the, you know, obviously they had other fish to fry and didn't think Zach was on their mind to keep. So, you know, when one door opens, another one closes, one door opens, and that's what happened to the Tigers. So he made his first grade debut. And when he scored that try in the corner in front of all his mates in that southern stand, that's what rugby league's all about. They were good. They were fantastic yesterday. Dewey was the best player on the field.
Yep.
And I get the feeling that when he is the best player on the field, Tigers are going to win a lot more games than they lose.
That's a really interesting take. That's a really interesting take because for as long, it feels like for the last 3 years, maybe the final couple of years of Robbie's time there, they were talking about how Luke Brooks needs to be the best player. This is Luke's team. He needs to be the best player. But if you look at this performances this year and say, well, it's Adam Dewey's actually the one that needs to go well if they're to go well. I don't know.
Dane Laurie too. Dane Laurie was fantastic yesterday. The live wire fullback. I think
he will win their Player of the Year award hands down.
Yeah,
this right.
Yeah, yeah. I think he will.
He's been outstanding.
I think 5 or 6 fullbacks got man the match awards in their respective games on the weekend. The fullback role is so deep.
It's
the fullback role
so
is
deep.
The depth of their talent is unbelievable.
chicken and the egg, though, MG. You know, is it because there's a depth of talent there? Is it because that's where the big bucks get hurt, so everybody wants to play there?
Well, it's be careful what you wish for. As Josh Adokar, you know, that's you got to be a lot fitter. You got to run for a lot more kilometres, and you've got a lot more pressure on you. So that's why the big bucks go to the fullbacks.
I'm just having a quick look at this Dragon side, and I guess the concern there, you talk about body language and you talk about effort level, and looking at this team, that's basically their best team. I know their wingers were both out. I know that Pereira and Ravalawa are both out suspended, but they're the wingers. Their spine is the spine that you want. It's McCulloch, it's Hunt, it's Norman, it's Dufty. You've got Bird and Lomax playing centers. Now, I know Zach Lomax has got a broken thumb. I think he's probably going to be set for a stint on the sidelines.
Yeah, 4 to 8.
Which is shocking news for a bloke who was in the origin frame.
He's on the cusp.
But their forward pack is as good as their forward pack could be. It's Laurie, it's McCulloch, it's Vaughan, it's Kerr, it's Sims, it's Maguire. And if that's what they turn out when their list is at its strongest, I mean, Hook... It wasn't a gameplay situation, as you said, MG. It was an effort level.
And that's them names you just read out there. And they're the guys who got them their 4 wins this season. They're the guys who, when the Dragons were winning games, they're the ones who were powering. The forwards were laying platforms that the back line could then pounce upon. But that didn't happen on the weekend. We didn't see Dufty at all. We didn't see any of their backs. We didn't see anyone. It was just a dour struggle that in the end, Tigers wanted more, obviously.
You think that's the old adage of winning is a habit? And for so many years now, winning hasn't been a habit for the Dragons. And a lot of these blokes have been involved in those years.
Look, it's definitely a poignant take on it because it does. Yeah, like they won 3 in a row before that. So... before they lost this, you know, the last, what did they lost in a row? 3 in a row?
I think they're 3 on the trot. They went from 4-1 to, what are
they
now?
It is. Them tight games that you get involved in, sometimes if you've got self-doubt, that overtakes it. But that home on a Sunday, like that's one they'll lament, man. That's one they should have won.
And this is where Hook has a really important week ahead of him because they are still 4-4. They're sitting 6th on the ladder, right? They've lost 3 on the slide and they're still 6th on the ladder, one of only 2 teams at 4-4 along with the Warriors. And this weekend, they get a Bulldogs outfit. Again, Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. They've got another home game in what should be not an easy kill, but a kill. They should win this game and then solidify their position in the top 8. And Hook... this finals must still be the target. Their start to the season, their 4-1 start to the season, finals has to be the acceptable benchmark for this Dragons outfit off what they've done and off the form they've discovered and the playing style. They can't just allow themselves to slide back into the also-rans of the season again.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And look, as I look at this, the round 9 games coming up, I think there's only 2 gimmies, really. Penrith over the Sharks, I think it's a gimme. And I think the Dragons over the Dogs. But that could all go pear-shaped for them. Well, the rest of the games could go all the way. It could be a toss of a coin.
Look, we know we've got the teams at the pointy end and we know we've got the teams at the arse end of the ladder. But it is a great season of rugby league at the moment. Did I read somewhere over the weekend that someone said Jack Bird's back in origin consideration off the back of his performance?
I don't think I'm on the back of that performance yesterday because he missed BJ Lalua badly for that try.
The last Tigers try.
Yeah.
All due respect, there's a couple of blokes by the name of Latrell Mitchell and Clint Gutherson and Tom Trbojevic. Look, I know they're not traditional centres, but I think
at least Latrell has played most of his life at centre.
Well, yeah,
Zach Lomax. That's why Zach Lomax was in the frame until he got injured. But now they look like they'll have to go with somebody else.
How does Madge take that Joey Leilua and trot him out every weekend?
It's all attitude. I you know, if we knew that answer, the Tigers would be, in the top 8. Instead of, Madge's job was on the line yesterday before that game, and we keep hearing that it's not. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And we keep hearing that, that it was on the line. But they obviously responded to it. And that's what you'd like to see. You like to see your players go out and not just for themselves, but for the coach whose job was on the line, so to speak.
I'm honestly not looking forward to the Titans having to travel to Campbelltown Stadium.
No,
take on that mob next weekend.
That's an ambush.
Pencil it in for a loss.
I'll be backing the Tigers. Yeah, I think
I think you have to. off the back of what the Titans just did last weekend, I think you probably have to back the Tigers in. All right, there it is, your Round 8 preview podcast. The Round 9 preview podcast will be coming out later in the week. If you're not listening to this via the Listener app, go and get it. It is the best place to get all the extra stuff that we do outside of the show as it goes to air 6 p.m. every night. MG, another big round of footy coming up. Teamless Tuesday is going to be interesting tomorrow.
Can't wait. Well, I'm eager to see if Jay Suwali is in the Roosters outfit.
He has to be. He has to be.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd think he'd have to be maybe on the wing or in the centres, and Joey Manu goes back to fullback.
Producer Charlie, get Robbo on the phone. We want confirmation of this, please. We want the exclusive.
Yeah, get Nick Politis. Get Nick.
Actually, get...
Godfather.
We're going to go.